You are listening to a podcast of Ice and Fire, episode number 254 for the week of March 29th, 2020. Welcome back, listeners, to the longest-running podcast dedicated to the epic glory of George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire. As always,
this is Ashley.
This is Amin.
And this is Kyle. And we are going to be going, we're getting closer to the end of A Storm of Swords. We're going to be going over Sam 5 and John 12. So how are you guys doing today?
Sick.
So we are in week three of this. I think it's week three. I've lost track of all time of the coronavirus stay-at-home world lockdown right now. And Ashley, you're sick.
Yeah. So that's terrifying.
And this is not an April Fool's joke.
No. It's not. And you were sick in the early record, like the previous episode, which I'll hopefully get out soon. You were sick and then you recovered, and then now you're sick again.
Correct. And we haven't left the house since we recovered. So it's only been like things coming through the mail through Instacart that's, you know, has been our only contact with outside. So there's that.
How much of a break did you have between the original sickness and this? Could it just be like the lagging tail end of symptoms of your first?
Well, it seems to be coming on the same way the last one did, with the starting with the sore throat. And it really did seem like I was completely over this illness. It's been roughly 2 weeks since I was pretty much better, and now it's back.
Are you somebody who gets sick often?
No.
No. Okay.
Okay. Well, let's just hope you keep the symptoms stay, you know, normal, mild, and that's it.
Yeah.
You write it out.
Hopefully. It's too early to tell whether it's a fever, a flu, or a cold. So hopefully, it's just going to be a cold. So. We'll see.
And you are a young, healthy individual.
I'd like to think so.
Who plays World of Warcraft every other night?
Yeah, and so. Probably drinks more than she should. So there's that.
Oh, I think you're good, Ashley. I think you just think positive and we'll be with you.
Yeah, the worst part is that I also get anxiety. So, and the way it affects me is tightness in my chest and throat. So it's like I'm freaking out because, and that just makes it like, am I getting this tightness because it's the virus, or am I just, you know, getting myself all worked up? So there's that.
Oh, man.
We'll find out. I mean, there's no use panicking yet, so. I'm so glad I moved to America this year.
Well, you have such fine leadership there to help you in this crisis period. So, speaking of leadership, this these chapters.
Yes. Yeah. While this is going on, there is also an election happening, and we're not talking about the United States election. Yeah. So, do we have any news before we dive into this, or I haven't seen any news?
No, I haven't either.
Well, didn't you see the Storm of Swords new illustrated edition?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So there is a few of the covers released, the potential cover, I guess, by region or something, of the illustrated edition of Storm of Swords, which is coming out, I think, the end of this year or either early next year.
I still got to remember to buy the last one.
Oh, it's nice.
Collection, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, well, we'll get you review copies of the next one. Three of us will get review copies of that one. And that's the one to get, Storm of Swords. I think that's going to be a beauty. We'll get our book out for that.
So, those are my favorite editions of the books. I love them. Nice.
Are they going to wait like 10 years for the other two, or are they going to speed them up? Are they going to be accurate on the release dates?
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I gotta imagine that George is getting a lot of writing done during this stay-at-home order.
I think he said on his blog that he was, actually. Like, he was, since he's stuck at home, he's just staying safe and getting a lot of work done.
He's probably seeing what's happening and then being like, all right, so this is how I have to do this, the scale epidemic.
The grayscale epidemic.
Yeah, the grayscale epidemic, yes!
Yeah,
stay in your castle.
Yeah, let's hope he doesn't go too over the top, have some orange-haired guy in Tyrone.
We can dive into the books. Sam 5 is going to be our first chapter today. And let's see. Anybody want to recap this one?
I can do it, I guess. It's fresh in my mind. Okay. So this chapter starts with Stannis bringing in the various people running for Lord Commander before him, and they kneel before him for a long time. And he basically says, I want you guys to figure out who's going to lead the watch. I can't keep waiting for these multiple rounds of voting. He needs somebody to rule the watch so he can actually deal with them and get some important decisions done. And then most of the Cotter Pike and Dennis Malister are both, they both hate each other, but they both are resistance against Stannis, and both hate Janos Slynt. So that's a common theme throughout the chapter. And essentially, this is a chapter where Sam gets to work in terms of influencing politics at the Wall. He realizes that he's the one that he can actually take action. Master Aemon can't because of his position. Get involved, but Sam can, and he ends up essentially realizing that he's seen dead people walking and far scarier things than this. It's no problem to get involved in politics.
Yeah, he starts realizing he can use fake news to rig an election.
That's right. He does that, and that's about it. It shows the how he kind of plays, and he uses his wits. You can see his wits in this chapter. We'll get into more depth on that, but how he's able to play each different type of person here. And play on their background and point of view.
So yeah, it's kind of a good, I think it's a good moment for Sam in this, I think.
Mm.
I think he kind of steps up to the plate, he kind of makes a choice and follows through on it.
Yeah, I really like how, you know, he realizes why there's no reason to be afraid with everything else that's going on in the world. He's afraid of them. Nope.
Yeah, it's like, what's the worst they can do to me? Send me to the Wall, I'm already here. Like, what, are they going to kill me or something? I'm already... Here, I've faced far worse. How did he phrase it? I think he saw Small Paul's face getting eaten or something like that. It's like, after that, this is nothing.
Hmm.
So, I guess back to the start of the chapter, you have Stannis there having his bare bones breakfast with salt beef and boiled eggs, hard bread.
Sounds good. Sounds like a better breakfast than I had today.
Wall food, I guess. Food at the Wall.
Wall food.
Janos tries to suck up, and Stannis calls him out on that and says there's actually charges against Janos earlier on. And back when he was in King's Landing and running the Gold Cloaks, he was really corrupt, and Stannis wanted to punish him at that time, but he was able to evade punishment there.
Now remind me, didn't Janos get sent to the Wall sort of as a spy, or am I just completely misremembering something?
I think you're remembering it in maybe a different way. Like, I mean, Tyrion sent Janos to the Wall to just kind of just get rid of him as a punishment, but Tywin tries to take advantage of that. Maybe he wants him to, certainly, he certainly wants him to be a spy or make use of him. He might be sending information there, but that wasn't the original purpose of him going there.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, they specifically refer to, I think either this chapter or the next, how, like, in Tywin's letter, he's like, oh, our good friend Janos Slynt. Tywin is trying to put him in a position of power. And
everybody kind of knows that Slynt is in Tywin's pocket. Everybody seems to come to that conclusion.
Yeah, both Pyke and Malister, right? They're like, oh, this guy's just like working for the Lannisters, essentially, or Two Kings Land. Even though they hate each other, they both agree on Janos Slynt not being suitable.
Hmm.
That's what Stannis says. Anyone would be better, even the cook.
Stannis.
He's also evasive here because he's talking about like what he wants to do. He wants to rebuild that wall. who's going to do it? He's evasive. Who's going to build the wall or rebuild the wall or staff the castles? And essentially, Stannis is going to use the Wildlings to do it. He doesn't want to just say it here because he wants to get a commander and then talk to the commander about it. But that's what who's going to do it? Well, he's going to let the Wildlings in to do this stuff for him.
Yeah, he's going to get it done fast.
He's going to make the others pay for it. So.
Jeez Louise.
Totally not political on this podcast. Not at all.
Oh, wow.
Political ice and fire and chat. You can't avoid it, unfortunately. I mean, you have politics in this chapter. A lot of politics going on here.
Yep.
Yes, there are.
Different views of what it means to be a leader. You have Cotter Pike's view that you need somebody who's able to fight and lead the men into battle. And then Malister's view is like, that's not enough. Yes, that you need to have some military skill, but you need to be able to treat and deal with other lords and kings. And so they have different views on what's the most important thing for the leader.
Hmm.
Now, which of these, if you had to choose between Pike and Malister, who would you choose if it was between those two?
Pike?
Hmm.
Malister. Kind of like Malister more.
I kind of like Pike more.
That's because Pike is a scarred face. That's
Oh, Ashley's type.
Yeah. His face was heavily marred by the poxy, which he tried to hide under a beard. So,
like, Malister's an old dude, but he seems like he's got his shit together. He's got a good resume.
He does, but I feel like he's not the kind of person who would take definitive action fast enough.
Yeah, they're almost each appropriate for a different time. I think Malister is better when things are more stable. Pike might be useful in combat, but on the other hand, he might be too brash. It's a shame that they hate each other because they would balance each other well. Like, if they were,
if they worked together, it would be great.
Like Oberyn and
Vice Lord Commander.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, they look at Oberyn and Doran, right? In actuality, they were working together and balancing each other out on their natures. So, but they can't do that.
We also get the moment where Aemon asks Stannis to pull out the sword, which is pretty. What's up with this sword? The sword has glamour on it, right?
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like.
It doesn't have the heat, and that's what Master Aemon's focus on. He's like, it didn't actually feel hot. So what did it have light? Like, the fact that it's not hot, it shows it's a fake. It's not the real thing.
So it's got the same power as, like, Melisandre's gem thing, right? Making her look like some young, sexy lady. It's making the sword look like a young, sexy sword.
It would be easier, you think. It's just giving off light. I think that would be easier than actually changing the appearance of, like, fully of a block.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that hard for her to do that.
So does she have that magic on the sword at all times, or does she have to be present?
I think it's all times, I would think. She's not always with him.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, did the sword ever have a moment where it doesn't glow when she's not around?
Well, I mean, she wasn't with him at the Blackwater, and I think he would have noticed if the sword wasn't glowing then.
Mm.
It's never mentioned, so.
Did he even take the sword with him? I guess he's using that sword all the time, or is it just like a special sword that he pulls out for?
I don't know.
Well, he just happened to be carrying it then, so I would think it's his normal.
Good point. Yeah, I don't think it would be that hard.
But doesn't that mean that Melisandre knows that Stannis is not Azor Ahai?
Yep.
I don't know if that necessarily means that she knows that he's not Azor Ahai, though. I think you think so? Like, you think she actually knows that?
I think she has doubts. I think she thinks it's him, but she's also not 100%. She's trying to make it him because she thinks it's supposed to be him. But then when new evidence pops up, she's ready to change her opinion.
So she's just facilitating the lie that he has Lightbringer, waiting to find the actual Lightbringer, or
could be that she doesn't really think much of the Lightbringer part of it. Because I think she said something like she likes to facilitate a bit of the lie for the good of something, or if she is doing magic, she exaggerates her power. Like I think she probably, I don't think it necessarily means she doesn't believe Stannis is that person. I feel she's just like, Stannis is that person, and in helping him be that person, I'll do this sword thing. Because it's not as important. But it's a good question there. Like, I never really consider her, like, actively from the very start, not thinking it's Stannis. But I thought she just bought into that and was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I've always felt, too. But just this discussion, I'm like, shit, I don't know. Has she been playing us all along? Or
does she think it needs to be hot? Or does she think all he needs to have is a sword, and because I'm his prophet or whatever, I can give it to him? Like, it just, you know, like, that's her role to give it to him, maybe.
Well, she's got to know that glamour magic is fake if she's putting it on herself all the time.
Is it fake if it's something that looks something? Is it fake?
It looks like a duck and sounds like a duck.
It's not as hot as a duck, though. It doesn't feel
good. Oh, good question. Interesting.
Anyway, it doesn't fool Aemon because he says there's no heat, so he has his doubts there about it.
So I wonder what... Does he just doubt the whole thing, so that's why he asked? Or did he have particular clues where he was like, let's feel this, see this sword?
Well, he seems to be pretty well-versed in this area. He's talking about the War of the Dawn, and so I think he from his point of view, Lightbringer is required, and so he wants to see it, and it sounds like nothing like the first Lightbringer he heard about.
Yeah.
I think that's why he's testing it there. And then it's almost like he kind of fake pretends. He's like, oh yeah, it seems very beautiful, but I think he just wants to sidestep the issue, right? He doesn't want to, like, call him out on it, right?
I think it's beautiful.
He's like, oh, you see that line? He's like, oh yeah, I feel it now or something, like when he was there, a sword full of sunlight. And so he doesn't want to call him out on it, but he certainly doesn't believe it.
Yeah.
Just wants to get past it.
He knows there's harm in calling out a king, and his sorceress.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of useful information here. With regard to, Melisandre, for example, they're talking about Dragonglass, and Melisandre says, Sam says Dragonglass didn't work on the white, and she confirms that. She's like, yeah, it's not going to work on the white. that's Steel and Fire for them. So that's a key book difference, like that it only works on the others.
Yeah.
In terms of being effective.
And you mean a difference from the show, because the show just like blanket termed them all and had Dragon Glass kill them all.
Exactly. It was just a useful tool for all. But I like the book's distinction on that the others are different from the whites.
Yeah, it's a very D&D tactics move. Like, that's right. Can't fight this guy. This guy's got a resistance against dragons.
Demons made of snow and ice and cold. The ancient enemy.
Yeah.
Okay, and then so that kind of leads in when Sam is taking the maester home. Amon says he can't get involved. I'm not a maester. Can I do something? Well, I don't know. Could you? And so that kind of gets him to...
Oh, Amon. He's so badass in this chapter. He's like proving a king wrong, but not saying it out loud. He's egging Sam on to rig an election. Like, Amon. You bastard.
He knows how to be a kingmaker.
Yeah. Damn. He's pretty cool in this chapter. I like it. And I just had a weird mental image of Maester Aemon and Blinken from Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Okay, so then Sam goes on to talk to Cotter Pike. Even there, he starts to kind of use a half lie or something that appears to be true. Like, he's like, did you just come from the Maester? Yes, to kind of make it seem like he's coming with his authority.
Yep.
There, and
I think Spore just doesn't say anything, right?
That's right.
He's like, the Maester sent you, didn't he?
Yeah, I just left him, my lord. Like, so it just kind of implies that he's there because of the Maester sent him there. And Pike says what Dennis says later, essentially saying, I don't really necessarily want this position. I'm just doing it because I don't want Malister to get it or someone else. No one else good is available.
But I think that's setting up the fact that they aren't in it for the personal gain, so they're more likely to vote for Jon Snow later.
Yeah.
Because if it was all about themselves, then...
They wouldn't give it up. They would just stick with it, right? Yeah.
Exactly. So he kind of gives his resume a bit and talks some trash, and Sam gets scared.
Yeah, I don't see him as Lord Commander material myself, but I still found him... Like, he seems like a pretty cool guy in terms of somebody at the Wall. He'd cover your back in battle.
Agreed.
And one of the key lines he says here is a toad, when he's talking about Slint, a toad grows wings and thinks he's a bloody dragon. That's a good way of summarizing Slint. It's the same view that Dennis has on him, actually, what we'll get to later. It's essentially the same view. They both think negatively of Slint. They just kind of word it a little bit differently.
Hmm. And Cotter Pike is a Ironborn, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
His last name being Pike and all.
True. Actually, you know, oddly, didn't pick that up when I first read it. what's the bastard name for Iron Island bastards?
Pike?
Is it Pike?
Pike is at least from that island. I don't know. It's a good question if they have other names. But you're right. I don't think... Have we seen other Pikes? There's not that many. So it could have been surprising to you. Like, yeah. I can get why you wouldn't have got it right away.
I'm just not very smart, so that's why. Nice. So then Sam goes on and talks to Malister, right?
Yep, that's a lot more courteous and civilized, the discussion. But and even the knight says, oh yeah, I can see why the Aemon didn't come himself. He's being wise and sending you instead to talk to him. But he won't accept Cotter Pike. Got to be more than a fighter. And he's like, oh, I don't like to speak badly about my brothers, but Cotter Pike is trash. He is born trailer trash. He'll die. Trailer trash is essentially what he says. And blood, birth, and training are something you can't be remedied later, according to Malister's point of view.
This
goes back to Pike's line where he says, Do you want Stannis to wipe your arse too? That was a pretty good line, but not appropriate to use in front of a king.
Yeah.
You can see why Ashley liked him. Yeah, he's the closest thing to the Hound up there.
Yeah, you're probably right. I like people who tell it as it is.
Yeah,
Stannis does that, and so does Cotter Pike.
Yeah, and Malister here, he calls Slint, he's a butcher's whelp, up jumped by the Lannisters. Small wonder he is venal and corrupt. So kind of the same thing, actually, with what Pike said, just a different way. So then here Sam
lies to
Yeah, he lies to him. Yeah. Oh, I mean, even before he lies, I mean, he puts the other candidate, he puts John forward, and then in the way that he describes John, he describes him in a way that would fit what Mouser likes. Like, you know, he's highborn, trained, he has learned sword and lance and letters, and he was a lord, like family, his father was a lord, brother a king. Like, that's the phrasing that matches Mouser's point of view.
Gotta know your audience.
That's right. And then the audience, or Dennis says, yeah, he might do, I'll be better. I'll be more suitable, but he might be a good choice. And that's when he lies. He's just like, yeah, if you don't vote, get John elected, they're going to force Scott or Pike.
Yeah. He gets some thinking.
And Sam is initially a little bit worried about the lie, realizes, no, he's seen far worse. This is nothing. Why is he scared when he saw a raven eating small Paul's face? Okay, that's what the line was. Yeah. He goes back to Pike, and then he describes John as an alternative, this time as a fighter, and the only thing is he's bastard born. That's actually a positive in Pike's, he kind of phrases it in a way to kind of seem like, oh, it's too bad he's bastard born, but actually Pike likes that. So, it's like, again.
Is that because Pike is bastard?
Also a bastard born.
Yeah, he's also a bastard himself, and he doesn't want to, like, he doesn't really respect the whole nobility stuff, so he's just like, oh, it's too bad that he's bastard born, but that's actually good, and Sam knows that. He's just phrasing it in a way to make it like Pike be like, oh, no, that's actually good. Pike says, I'd be better, though. So, again, the same thing. But then if Sam lies, yeah, he would be. But Stannis is going to force Sir Dennis on them, which actually is a lot more believable lie if you think about it. Like, you think forcing Dennis makes sense. Choosing Pike doesn't make as much sense for Stannis to do that. But I guess it's still he's a better alternative as Slint.
Well, the way I see it is Pike would make a good soldier, mm-hmm. right? Because I'd see Stannis, you know, being able to command a little bit easier than the other guy who thinks that he's, you know, up jumped or whatever, like not the real king and that.
Hmm.
I don't know. I saw the value of why he would assume that Stannis would make Pike the leader.
Yeah, good point. Malister might see that, right? Malister might accept, oh, then Pike might not be able to, like, Pike wouldn't stand up for the wall as much as I would, because Malister's worried about Stannis getting overthrown, and Pike might not give a shit about that or something. So, yeah. That's a good point. The point is, would Malister have believed that? And yeah, that could very well be the case if Malister thought that Stannis thought Pike would be more malleable or more agreeable having been appointed. Even despite what he said there, he still might, you know, I can see that. Okay. And that's about it. That's the chapter right there. Unless you have any other comments.
No. So then we move on to John 12. You want to recap this one too, Amin?
Sure. This is starts out with John fighting with Iron Emmett, who's the best swordsman out of Eastwatch, and so it describes their fight there. We'll talk a bit more depth, but this actually might reveal something about John's background and the way he's able to go into this rage and win the fight there. John's kind of struggling over the decision whether he's going to take Stannis' offer or not. He kind of remembers when he was a kid how he wanted to be Lord of Winterfell, told he wasn't, and then feels guilty about that, but also it's just a painful memory for him. And essentially he makes his decision before the election happens, which is not exactly the way I remembered it. I thought maybe he was still leaning one way or the other, like he was just still making his decision, but he kind of makes his decision now and then gets elected here later, surprisingly. So it's not the same order. I don't know if George specifically wanted to show that, to show that John had already made his choice and the choice wasn't taken out of his hands. But on the other hand, even though he made a decision here, like if you're going to actually end up just about to be killed later, maybe he still would have switched his decision.
At one point, he's thinking about Winterfell and living there and Sam visiting and raising the kids and being with Val. And he says something like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
And then it seemed like at that point to me, it was like, oh, okay, he made his mind. And then a little bit later, I forget what happens, but before he heads to before he heads over to the room, he changes his mind and he decides, no, that's not what I can have. And then this is when he sees Val. He's like, sorry, I'm not going to be the one to steal you.
Yeah. What it was is, Ghost came back and he saw it and it reminded him that he's a Snow, not a Stark.
Yes.
Well, and not only that, the old gods, right? His connection to the old gods was emphasized there. So he was not going to turn his back on the old gods.
Yeah.
Like the way that offer is being made that he would have to burn the weirwoods and all that. So right. Ghost coming back.
Yeah, so it seems like a really torn between now. We know what he wants, but then we know he sticks with his duty and his brothers before the election and everything. But so we know, like, this isn't where he wants to be. We kind of have that difference.
Now, if I was Stannis, the smart thing to do was, let's say Janos did get elected, just make a deal with Janos, who probably would be malleable, and get Janos not to kill Jon, but just to eject him from the wall.
Like with a catapult?
Yeah, no, you're kicked out of the wall. Like you're kicked out of the Night's Watch. Something like that. And then Jon would almost like be like, okay, well, I'm not even able to serve. I'm not being killed, but I'm not able to serve. Something like that. That might have been the route to go there.
But that's unprecedented, though.
It is, yet, on the other hand, we have precedence of things like that happening, though, because of Barristan being taken off. That really opened the door on a lot of these other things. Barristan being taken off the Kingsguard. If you can take Barristan the Bold off the Kingsguard, like, then you open the door for these other things happening.
Times are a-changing, huh?
So going back to the start of the chapter, I guess, if we can, go to the battle with, or the fights with Iron Emmett.
Iron Emmett.
Yeah. Who specifically singled out at being, like, the best swordsman there, like, being strong, having good swordsmanship, from Eastwatch. John talks about how he often feels like he'd be about equal with him, but Emmett is probably still on average better. And I like this, the last few chapters showing John training hard. Like, it's showing that his capability with the sword is earned. It just doesn't come out of nowhere. Like, he's been working on it. He's becoming a better fighter.
Hmm.
And then, he ends up, he's losing this fight. He didn't have enough sleep and he's just getting out, maneuvered here. But yeah, he ends up winning because he kind of goes into like this bull rage.
Yeah, he like goes blank and all of a sudden he's beating the shit out of him.
He gets hit on the head. It's like a berserker rage. And so this is what I've always thought, although it can be read two different ways, this is a good kind of hint among many that Jon has Targaryen background, because it's like waking the dragon moment. Like it's hinting,
yeah.
They can have kind of like the Targaryen bloodlust or rage in battle. So this could be waking the dragon. I always thought it is, but I like the way that it's made, that you can always interpret it differently, because you could also just interpret it that it's just like the wild wolf mentality that Brandon had. Like, so certain Starks could also get like a kind of berserker rage or something. So it could be either way, but I view it as Targaryen heritage.
Huh.
Yeah, it could be. I do feel that same way, that, you know, his strength and everything, it just seems more hints that he's just not normal.
Hmm.
Interesting. I hadn't thought that before. I don't know if I like it, but I'm listening.
Emmett woke the dragon. When he hit him there, he got into, like, waking the dragon is a specific term that I think
you don't really want to unleash the dragon.
Yeah, it's just kind of a berserker mode that some Targaryens can get into. I feel like that's being established or referred to in different times.
Okay.
So I think that's what happens to Jon here. He just kind of goes into berserker mode.
I mean, I'm not doubting your logic and your dot connecting here, but... But yeah, okay. I was a little, like, when I was reading it, I was like, what the heck? He just, has he gone into a blood rage, like a blind blood rage before?
Not that I remember. This may be the first time, at least the first time we've seen it, but it's just, cause he doesn't even realize, like, it's not like it just seems like he just went in this rage and he came out of it and Emmett's on the ground saying, why didn't you stop fighting? He just was out of control for that period, so.
Mm.
And overwhelmed the fighter that was beating him. Emmett was beating him to that point. And he kind of just bowled through it and did this.
And I'm trying to remember what battles he was in. I don't recall.
Interesting. Right.
Well, specifically the hit to the head too. He got hit on the head and it kind of let the subconscious take over or something. You know, he wasn't consciously thinking for a while, and then he was thinking about that painful memory of the youth that got him angry. Right. He felt angry. He says, "Why am I so angry?" So essentially, he's going into like that berserker rage, and that memory is also a painful one. You can see there how he used to play fight with Rob and they'd yell that they're different heroes, and then he used to say, "I'm Lord of Winterfell." He said, "I've done 100 times before, but only this time, Rob said, "No, you can't be Lord of Winterfell. You're bastard born. My mother says you can never be Lord of Winterfell." And that hurt.
Oof.
He thought he'd forgotten that, and now he remembered that.
Ugh. The truth spit by a child.
So yeah, he's struggling over a decision whether to take Stannis' offer. Making them burn the weirwoods, I think, was a mistake to put that in the offer, though, because that's making it harder for Jon to accept it. I think Stannis might drop that part of the conditions.
I don't know if Melisandre will let him.
Melisandre might not, but I think Stannis is flexible over time. Like, if you see him later on where...
Wait, no, Stannis is not flexible. He is real.
Yeah. I don't know, but he's flexible in terms of his religion. In terms of the religion, he is flexible.
Don't you go changing the legend now.
Yeah, in terms of the religion, he's basically doing yoga. He's that flexible because he doesn't stick, like, as he gets Northmen in his army, he starts to preach, like, he's like, he doesn't force them all to do that. He's like, half my army is non-believers. Like, he's practical in that sense. So I think burning the weirwoods is not necessarily required. I think that could have been dropped from the requirements, but.
We can't sleep tossing and turning thinking about it.
Yeah, Stone Kings are saying this is not your place. You don't belong here. Then I guess he's in the baths when he overhears them. Here's Janice Lint.
Yeah, I guess there's like a bathtub in the basement.
It's just like the bathrooms or something. Maybe they have the, is it underground or something, or like a steam?
Yeah, it's like it goes underground and there are tunnels that connect all the towers, I guess.
Yeah.
And there's just a heated bathtub down there. I was a little confused about what was happening.
It could be that there's hot springs there, like Winterfell. It doesn't really describe it.
I don't think so. This place is not supposed to have any.
Yeah, it could
anything
just be
warm. I figured it was just like a heated tub. There was like a fire or something.
Yeah, a heated just room, not just one tub though. Probably a couple there or something, or pools. Just bathhouse. So there
it just doesn't seem like a very Night's Watch thing to have a nice spa in the tunnels below.
Yeah.
There you go. Where all the guys are gossiping and yeah. Somebody's taking a nice bath.
Exactly. Here's them. Well, they're trying to convince Othel, Yarwick, right, to switch over for Janos. And then he gets up and is like, don't let me just spoil your plotting.
Yeah.
So weird that bathtub just weirded me out. I didn't know what was happening.
We must have a bathtub.
Yeah, well, and if you're going to have one, you just dig it underground.
You must heat it with fire or something.
If you dig it underground and heat it, it's going to be insulated, right?
But is it just in like a I'm picturing it in like a mine shaft.
Well, I assume they bathe at some point.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but it's in a damn mine shaft.
No, it just they built underground. I mean, it's insulated. If you dig underground, it's better than being on the surface, right? So it makes sense.
Like, didn't John have to bring up stuff for Lord Commander Mormont earlier, and Mormont could have just gone down to the bathtub?
Well, maybe Mormont doesn't want to bathe with the men. He wants to be on his own. Like, they specifically add that. Do you want to eat with the men or eat on your own? So.
Okay, I'll let it go. It just seems weird.
Yeah. Well, and then it just keeps going over. Like, everything's lining up initially. He should take this offer. Janos is gonna, you know, hang him if Janos gets elected, and he can restore Winterfell and have children and all that. No. And it's all lining up. Yes, he should take the offer.
Like, Sam can visit once or twice a year, and
yeah.
Mance's child and Craster's child raised together. It's like the white picket fence. My 8.5 dogs in Ghost. He wanted it. John knew then. He wanted it as much as he had ever wanted anything. I have always wanted it, he thought guiltily. May the gods forgive me. It was a hunger inside him, sharp as a dragonglass blade. Mm. He
feel
wants it. What's that, Ash?
I feel bad for him. Yeah. I feel bad for him. I mean, I kind of feel bad for everybody.
Yeah, he's got it tough.
Then that merges into, like, the hunger there merges into then a kind of a hunger to eat something. And then essentially, I think he's warging into Ghost at that point. Because Ghost is nearby. He feels Ghost's thoughts there.
Yeah, it was cool. I like how George wrote it, where he's just kind of talking and all of a sudden he's just like, meat, nom, 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 nom. Wait, what? He just seamlessly slipped into it once they came into proximity of each other, I guess.
That's right, yeah. Ghost is back.
He's bigger, he's leaner, he's meaner.
Red eyes, but not like Melisandre's. And it's the old gods. He belongs to the old gods, and that kind of gets him his decision there. Stark versus Snow. He's a Snow.
Yeah. So he's, what, twice as big? He's twice as large as the common wolf.
Okay.
All right, so he's pretty big. He's probably up to, what, like Jon's shoulder? this point?
He's intimidating now, certainly for everyone who hasn't seen him before, right? Like, the guards, like, what is this direwolf doing here?
That's terrifying. I like how John is just walking around with this shoulder-height wolf next to him. It's such a cool
Ghost image. Must be huge by that point, too.
Hmm.
Well, they say he's twice as large as a common wolf.
So that's pretty big.
Yeah, wolf usually is like kind of thigh high, right?
That'd be like the size of a big dog, like a.
Yeah, it might not be certainly they'd be somewhat higher. It could just be that they're just longer in body too. I think there was a species. I don't know if they even called it direwolf. There was a larger species of wolf, like in real life too. Like this long extinct, I think.
Hmm.
See what the size of those were, if they have a image of that.
Oh, means clicking away.
Yeah, I'm looking to see if there's a chart of that. I don't see it, though.
Don't know. But, he heads to the election room, I guess, the voting room. And it seems as if everybody has been talking about John.
Yeah, because his name has come up. He's nominated by Dolores Ed.
Yeah. I like how George is like, okay, everybody knows this is gonna happen. Let's not drag this out.
Yeah, that's right.
The rest of the chapter happens really quick.
Yeah.
Like.
Just powers through it. It just from the previous chapter into this one. And I mean, the thing is, they were locked in by Stannis. They're not allowed to leave until they elect somebody. That's the way he's gonna deal with this. So they were gonna elect somebody that night.
Stannis interfering with their election.
Well, he turns it into a conclave. No one's allowed to leave.
Yeah, they started lighting the smoke and sending it up.
Both Pike and Malister.
He also denied the food, which was more...
Yeah, that's pretty effective to get them to get the decision. Pike and Malister both shut down Slint when he tries to block John. It's like, no, anyone can be nominated here.
Yeah.
Then Alistair tries to still get a speech, get all Othel Yarwick to vote for John, and then Yarwick's like, oh, maybe John would be better after all. So that's hilarious. That's a big switch there. And Lord Mormont's Raven shows up and starts saying snow, snow, goes on John's shoulder. This could be Bloodraven doing this.
Yeah, I completely forgot about this part, and then rereading it, I'm like, holy shit, it's Bloodraven.
So it's Bloodraven.
Yeah,
that's what we're thinking.
Gotta be.
That's a theory that I accept.
Why?
Crows don't do that.
No, but why does Bloodraven want John to be the Lord Commander?
That's useful for Bloodraven's purposes. Like, if Bloodraven is finding the others, if he's finding the others, he wants somebody competent, and Bran's brother in particular. To rule.
The Targaryen.
Yes, true. Targaryen as well, right? And Bloodraven was Targaryen, so he sees John as someone useful to him.
Okay. Is there any, like, physical indication from the Raven?
Other than it talking?
No, there's no clear indication other than that we know later that the Blood Raven has been skin-changing and all to these Ravens, so he easily could have done this. He very well could have been the one. Like, you have to specifically look at the Ravens and pay attention to them. Because, Bran does that later, but Blood Raven could do that earlier, I think. So, anytime there's a Raven involved, there's always a chance that Blood Raven might be involved.
A lot of people think it's Sam.
They think Sam set it up. I mean, that's the more common theory. Now, there's other views on it that are less common, like the idea that Mormont himself skin changed into his raven when he died, and it's actually Mormont doing this.
Honestly, the thing I would have believed the most is that it was Aemon that put the raven in the pot.
Oh, yeah.
it took him like the entire night. Get that bird in that pot.
And then Alistair's like, oh, this is just a fake bird. It's only saying snow and not other words, and then it starts saying other words.
See how it was listening and comprehending. Yeah. Bloodraven.
Bloodraven's like, oh, okay, you want more evidence? Corn. Kettle, kettle, kettle. Vote for John. Vote for John.
Vote for John. Vote for John. Like, whoa! Raven is intense.
And then the Arrowheads come in, and John wins and is getting congratulated by everyone. And they demand their supper. They want their supper now.
The raven wants the supper.
Yeah.
Supper.
Corn.
Corn.
So this is like the highlight. This is one of the highlight endings of the book, because like John is like hanging out with his friends. He's got a raven on his shoulder. He's got ghosts beside him. They got a wineskin and they're celebrating. And Sam admits it wasn't him. It could have landed on Janice's head. They didn't plant it there. And John says the wall was his. The night was dark and he had a king to face for the final John chapter.
All you need is some scantily clad maiden in John's arms, and you've got a fantasy cover.
Yeah.
Yep. So the wall was his. The night was dark, and he had a king to face. And there we go. We've got the 998th Lord Commander of the Night's Watch.
Isn't that an interesting number too? Because it's not like he's not the 1,000th, but so presumably somebody else is going to be the 999th.
Well, isn't he also the 999th?
Yeah. And well, I guess whoever was interning then, and then he comes back to life, so then he's 1,000.
Yeah, exactly. They might put somebody temporarily, and depending on when he comes back, like somebody else might take that role for 999, and then he comes back to be 1,000. But I mean, I remember reading the book the first time. This is just chapter after chapter at the end of just like great moments. This one was one of them. You're like, oh, I want to see what happens next, and then 4.5 years later, or whatever it was, it came.
Oh man, I can't wait to reread Dance of Dragons and be back. Oh yes, that moment. I can't wait for the next book.
Yeah.
So there we are. All right, any other thoughts, theories, ideas, questions?
Nope.
All right, well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of A Podcast of Ice and Fire. Make sure you follow along with us on Twitter and Facebook at APOIAF. Join the forums, join the discussions, and we will see you next time.
See you next time.
See you next time.
For the end of A Storm of Swords reread.
Stay safe, Ashley. Hopefully, you'll be fine.
Hopefully, yeah.
Vitamin C.
Yeah, eating lots of oranges here. Drinking lots of water.
Oh, yeah. Stay hydrated. Stay healthy.
Same to you guys. We're going to start actually quarantining our food when we get it. Hmm. We're going to leave it in the garage and, like, clean it all down there and leave it outside for a day or so before bringing it in.
Yeah. I've been rubbing most of like the boxes and plastic things and stuff with like rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, again, I've been watching lots of the news, scaring myself, so that's that.
Go on a news diet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
If they find like some actual proper cure for this thing, you'll hear about it. But otherwise, do you really need to every day see like 1,000 new numbers and then another 1,000? Like, do you need that? You don't need that, right?
Play your games. Stop watching the news.
On the upside, my nose has gotten stuffier as I've sat here, which is a sign this is a cold and not the flu.
The first time ever, you're like, yes, I have a cold.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Get well soon. And I'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah. See you later.
Bye. All right.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey.
Yo.
Hey. How you guys doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
I'm getting sick again, so I'm terrified.
You're good.
No, it's just coming on now, so it'll be a few days before I know what it is, if it's a cold or a fever or what.
Have you been going to all the raves?
No, I've been in sequestered for the past month, so I don't know. Don't know.
Oh, man. It's crazy.
It is. Yeah, we only recorded 2 weeks ago, right? And I haven't got that episode out yet.
But, oh, you haven't?
No, I will. I've been pretty busy with other stuff. But it will be interesting to, in the long run, to see some of our, like, just chats in the after show and stuff, how this thing, you know, goes over time. Like, each 2 weeks, what's the situation if we record every 2 weeks? It's like a snapshot.
We got this, and then one more recording, and we'll be done the book.
That's right. So, Ashley, just hang on a few more weeks. So you can...
Oh, that's terrible.
Sorry. No, I mean, odds are, Ashley, unless you live in New York, your odds are very low of having COVID, even in New York.
Yeah, well.
It's still most likely to just be a cold or something else. If you just look at the numbers, the percentages are so low at this moment. Not for the long run.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know.
Oh, man. Crazy.
Considering more and more young people are dying, it's not fun to watch the news.
Don't watch the news.
Yeah. They only focus on the young people that are dying. Yes, they are dying. Like, in terms of like death of someone young, it is unexpected, but he's still in total numbers, it's still quite low. Like, so I mean, the odds, you could just get killed by a car or something. Can't let it take over your life.
Easy for you to say. I mean, you're not sick.
Yeah, as I say from my like bunker on an island or something, I'm stockpiled of toilet paper for the next 2 years. I'm good.
We still haven't been able to get more toilet paper. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
That's legit. Everybody was joking at first, and now it's like, oh, wait. No, I actually need toilet paper.
There are some people, I remember in BC, that essentially there's little, like these little mini islands. People have like cabins or houses there. They could just go there and literally just, if you have enough stockpile, just ride this thing out. If you can take that time off. Or you can work by distance if you have satellite
internet. All those crazy people who have like those panic rooms made and bunkers, they're just like laughing their heads off. They're just... down in their bunkers, living it on canned food and well water.
Then in 2 years, everyone's going to die from, like, obesity and other diseases, just, like, from sitting here. Like, we're going to get sicker from that.
We're all going to be like Wall-E, like the people in Wall-E. Our bones have deteriorated. What episode number is this, I mean?
Well, it'll be one past the one that's released. So let's see what's out right now. 252, so it'll be 254.
254. Week. March?
Yeah, March 29th.
29th. Oh, I think this is all an April Fool's joke from Ashley.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I wish.
2020. I know, I've completely, like, April Fool's Day doesn't mean shit this year.
Okay.
What do we got? What is it? It's Sam.
It's Sam 5 and John 12. They link together pretty well, so it'll be a good recording.
Well, Storm of Swords. Storm of Swords. All right, cool. We want to jump into this?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Well, let me just make sure this is recording here. Let's just see. Yeah, it is. Okay, good. All
right. How does it start again? You are listening to... Okay.